Hello again, and welcome to our Ask the Biblical Counselor podcast that we do each week. My name is Ab Abercrombie. I'm the director of the Biblical Counseling Institute, which is a training ministry that teaches people within the church how to counsel biblically, how to care for one another from a scriptural perspective. And we hold this podcast each week in cooperation with Faith Family Fellowship, which is a Southern Baptist church in Spanish Fort, Alabama. We appreciate Pastor Joel Faircloth and his staff and elders for supporting this ministry and giving us this opportunity to talk about some very serious issues that sometimes do occur in the body of Christ that need biblical perspective and biblical understanding. So that's what we strive to do each week, is to take questions from some of our listeners and look to God's word and try to give some explanation and some hope for how these matters can be successfully responded to, both by the individual who may be suffering with a particular issue, but also by the church and how we minister to each other. This week we have a really serious question that's come in. In fact, it's kind of complicated. And because of that, I'm going to take two sessions to discuss it. Today I'm going to talk about it in a more general sense about what the issue really means and what it involves. And then next week we will look specifically at biblical responses to this particular problem. But it's a very serious problem. It can be a life-threatening problem. So I want to be as thorough as possible, and I want to address it as responsibly as I can. But the letter comes from a mother, and she writes that our daughter is 22 years old and has struggled with body image and eating disorders since the age of 14. We are a Christian family, and our daughter professed Christ when she was 16, but she has never been able to resolve this issue. She goes on to say that over the past 2 years, her symptoms are getting worse. She has always been troubled with bulimia, but more recently, she's restricting food intake more and more. According to her doctor, she's about 15% below her expected or normal body weight. And the doctors have tried numerous antidepressants, and she has been in therapy, but with no improvement. Then the mother asked, how are we to view this problem biblically, and what should we do to get her the correct help? Well, I really grieve for these parents because this is a very challenging issue. It comes up very frequently in our society, but increasingly even within the body of Christ. There are a lot of reasons for that we might not be able to get into why it is increasing in its occurrence, but I thought we should have some overview of what the world calls eating disorders. What does that mean, really? How do we begin to consider what that is biblically? Well, eating disorders, as they're called by the psychiatric community, come in at least three forms. The primary three are anorexia, bulimia, and compulsive or binge eating. Now, anorexia, as you probably know, involves the restricting of food intake that tends to intensify over time. And what may begin as a relatively normal diet or a weight loss program often turns into an obsession with being thin. Anorexia can become very severe and even life-threatening. And you're wise to seek medical and spiritual help when your daughter or son show any of these types of symptoms. In the case that we're talking about today, this young woman has been struggling for 8 years with this condition, and it has worsened, and now she's 15% below expected body weight. That's pretty low. And so now we know that there are compromising effects on the function and health of her body and probably also for her spiritually and emotionally. Now, the second category is what the world calls bulimia, and it involves the purging of calories after eating. So often this person will binge eat. They typically will eat a large, sometimes excessive amount of food, usually in a short period of time, and very often that food will be very calorie-filled. Usually involves a lot of fats, starches, sugary types of foods that provoke the binge. And the person with bulimia tends to eat very large amounts until they become excessively full, even uncomfortable. And afterward, with this physical discomfort and emotional distress, they become very frightened and very concerned about weight gain. So at that point, the cognitive process is much like the anorexic. The person now is fearful that the intake of food is going to cause them to gain weight, alter their appearance, alter their health. And this is usually followed by intense efforts to purge or to negate the effect of the calories, either by vomiting, throwing up, or by taking sometimes excessive amounts of laxatives on a regular basis, or sometimes they engage in intense physical exercise, not just healthy normal exercise regime, but really exercising an extreme amount. Sometimes this is done in conjunction with the vomiting or the taking of laxatives, so that you really get into a kind of a dangerous combination, a dangerous cycle of things going on where the person is purging calories, taking in excessive calories, purging them. They get into that cycle of consuming and expelling. And then along with that, they're participating in excessive programs of exercise. And that's kind of a dangerous combination for the body. It puts a great deal of stress on the heart, puts stress on the gastrointestinal system. And so it becomes very problematic from a medical perspective. What this creates is a cycle of binging and purging that is primarily driven by the emotion of anxiety. People with this issue often have gastrointestinal problems. They also get problems where they have damage to the esophagus very often because of the frequent throwing up. They also tend to have dental issues, excessive tooth decay, and other problems of the mouth. And since the purging of calories doesn't really work in having to do with the management of weight, these people often become overweight, sometimes excessively so, and they begin to restrict food even more excessively at that point. And sometimes they progress from purging their food by vomiting or exercising and move more toward anorexia. So sometimes bulimics can, after going through this binge purge cycle, sometimes for years, and being frustrated with the inability to control their weight, will then begin to restrict and stop eating, much like the anorexic person does. The third issue is called compulsive eating or binge eating. And this is really more than being overweight or being 20 pounds, even maybe 50 pounds overweight. This is someone who really is obsessional about the food. And there is a regular and repetitive consumption of very large quantities of food. And again, especially fat, laden foods, foods that are starchy and, contain a lot of sugar. These tend to be sort of the driving types of food that go with compulsive or binge eating. Now, the biblical term we know very well, gluttony. And we've all certainly been guilty of that in isolated and sometimes prolonged cases. But for people who really get entrapped in this cycle, it becomes a really chronically excessive and debilitating condition. You know, the normal caloric intake for an adult woman is about 2,000 calories a day, for the man about 2,500 calories a day. But people who binge eat, it is not uncommon for them to take in between 4 and even 10,000 calories in a daily period. And since purging is not part of the compulsive eating, these individuals usually become significantly overweight and often suffer all the related medical conditions that come with excessive weight, ranging from type 2 diabetes to heart disease and other issues. So all three of these categories, and there are some other subcategories that psychologists talk about, but this is sufficient for our conversation today. All three of these expressions of an eating disorder carry grave emotional, spiritual, and physical consequences. So there are things that when they occur, we should take them very seriously. They should not be minimized by anyone, family members, church members. If someone finds the courage to talk about and reveal these issues, or if you see by the diminishing weight or the increasing weight and become concerned, you really should go to these folks, because over time, these conditions, as much as anything I've ever seen in the counseling office, tend to worsen. And they don't get better on their own. And they really do need spiritual care. Now, the interesting thing about all three of these expressions of what the world calls an eating disorder is that all three tend to be very obsessive about food. We think, well, the anorexic hates food. The compulsive eater loves food, but it's really not that way. The anorexic loves food. In fact, a lot of anorexics that I have known and counseled are excellent cooks. They love to be around food. They love to prepare food for family and loved ones, but they forbid themselves the food. In fact, it's even sort of a badge of pride that they wear sometimes, that they cook a huge Thanksgiving dinner and the family loved it and it was magnificent, but they didn't eat hardly anything. And so they feel empowered by their capacity to resist this thing, this food that they love so much. And so much of their mental preoccupation, day after day, hour after hour, is over food. And then consequently, how do I restrict myself, keep myself from having that food? People with a bulimic problem also obsess about food. They love food. They consume it rapidly. They consume large quantities. But then the emotional struggle tends to follow that consumption. That's when the anxiety and the depression increase. And the purging, whether it be exercise, laxatives, or throwing up, it tends to not only purge out some of the calories, but it provides an emotional release for that tension that they're feeling inside. It gives them some reprieve, some very short-term relief for the discomfort that's been created by the excessive eating. Of course, we know that the discomfort was there prior to the excessive eating, that the eating itself did not cause the depression or the anxiety. In fact, the overeating was the first expression of trying to gain some relief for this emotional and spiritual state that I'm in. But then it increases the depression and the anxiety, the guilt, the shame, and then the purging is the secondary effort to rid myself of that discomfort. And of course, the person who binge eats or eats compulsively, they have a love-hate relationship with food. They do love it. They seek after it. They acquire it frequently, and sometimes I've had counselors who will spend up to $100 a day buying junk food and other things to consume. And it becomes a very dangerous, almost addictive type of capacity for them. And they love and want to consume the food. They love the taste of it, the feel of it, the whole thing. But of course, they feel shameful as their weight increases and as they have medical issues as a consequence. They have a lot of emotional controversy about what they're doing, yet the food serves as a medicine in a way. It's not a good medicine. It doesn't cure anything. It certainly doesn't even help anything, but it takes it in a very short-term way and suppresses that emotion, whatever that may be. But of course, as the weight increases and as the limitations in one's life increases, guess what? Spiritually, we become more distant. With Christ, emotionally, we become more impaired. And it only drives us back to repeat that cycle and to ease that anxiety again by overeating, then feeling guilty, ashamed, depressed, anxious, overeating again, etc. And that cyclic process continues. Now, I think the other thing that's common with all three of these groups is that they all report very similar descriptions of their emotions. They all tend to report a kind of a pervasive and chronic anxiety, and they almost all report some level of depression. And that's what drives that cycle of consuming, purging, restricting, whatever the particular issue may be. Now, clinical research, and I use that word kind of loosely because psychology and psychiatry are not very scientific professions. I'm trained in psychology, but it's not really a scientific expression of research. But the research that we have, such as it is, doesn't yield any answers for these issues. It yields very little certainty about the origin of eating disorders. And while there are many theories about these conditions, nobody really knows. And as a result, like most things that are considered psychiatric in nature, the primary solution that doctors think about is medicating the condition. And so for years, anorexics and bulimics have been given antidepressants, anti-anxiety drugs without really any long-term success or benefit. More recently, compulsive eaters have been given antidepressants as a way of controlling their excessive consumption. Also, not good clinical results. Some report benefits, some may improve, but across the board, the results are very, very poor. We do know this is an issue that is spiritual. We know it's also emotional, and we know it's medical. But by medical, I don't mean necessarily that there's a medical problem or a chemical imbalance that causes the eating disorder, but that the medical condition and the physical health of an individual is greatly impacted by this particular type of spiritual and emotional issue. We also know that severely low body weight, compromises one's capacity to think rightly. It compromises one's emotional management. And so when anorexics in particular dip below normal body weight, in this case, the mother writes that her daughter, I think, is 15% below normal body weight. Well, at that point, we know that her thinking is going to be affected just by the deficit of nutrients in her body. Emotions, anxiety will be worse when you are inadequately fed. And so we also know that when people reach a body weight that is 25% or more below a normal expectable body weight, their life is in jeopardy. And so this young woman, being at 15% below normal body weight, is getting very near that mark. And at that point, people usually must be hospitalized, not necessarily for psychiatric treatment, but to make certain that their physical health can be sustained and they don't die. Many people will suffer heart failure once the anorexia reaches a certain point. So it is a very serious thing, and as such, it even has an element of self-destruction to it. It's not a conscious, deliberate action that one is taking, that I'm going to starve myself to death. but the inability to stop or moderate the restriction and the purging and all these other dangerous activities does take a person nearer and nearer to physical death, being physically compromised and injured by the condition itself. So it's something that we must take very, very seriously. And in our counsel to family members and trying to help people within our church body, we have to recognize that it may be dangerous to counsel them without getting medical consultation. Now, again, I'm not directing them to psychiatrists, but they need a good internist or a good family practice doctor, someone who can work in conjunction with the biblical counselor to monitor the safety of this individual. Because while you're dealing with spiritual and emotional issues that certainly need concern and attention, you don't want to overlook what's going on medically that may jeopardize this person's life. And unless you're a physician, and I'm not, you may not know. Somebody may look more stable than they are to the untrained eye. And so I think if you're going to counsel or work with people with these types of issues within the church, you should have a good consulting physician that can help you in that process. Now, just as we begin to close for today, now next week we're going to get far deeper into the spiritual aspects and the scriptural responses to eating disorders, but tonight it is sufficient to say that all of these conditions contain spiritual, emotional, and physical aspects. And by this, I don't necessarily mean that the cause is physical again, but the consequences are physical. Spiritually, each of these conditions involve a distortion of thought. And we know spiritually how our thinking can be compromised, how we can begin to think in unbiblical ways. And then by doing so, we begin to seek unbiblical solutions for what we have imagined our issue to be. We also know that demonic and spiritual attack is prevalent in our world, and we can be provoked to wrong thinking, tempted to wrong thinking by the spiritual warfare that is around us. We know that each of the conditions contain a distortion of emotion. And the Bible writes a lot about emotion, the danger of emotion, the danger of relying too heavily upon emotion. It gives us instruction on how to resolve and deal with certain emotions like fear, anxiety, grief, despair, all of these things. And so we have to get a biblical perspective about how emotion is to be managed in order to deal with these particular issues. They all involve a disturbance of conduct. There is a behavioral expression that is harmful, addictive in some cases, and forgive me for saying this word, but sinful. If I am a glutton and make myself excessively overweight and treat my body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, poorly, that is sinful. If I binge eat, which is sinful, and then purge and cause physical jeopardy, physical harm to my body, it is sinful. And certainly the reduction of body weight to the point of near death is sinful. It may not be a conscious, deliberate association that the individual makes with what they're doing and the intent of dying, but the end result is the same, whether it's conscious or not. I think each have an issue of idolatry, misplaced worship. All three of these issues are very, very self-centered. Even compulsive eating, they, well, you know, who wants to get really overweight and be unattractive and hurt your health? How is that idolatrous? Well, it's because in spite of the consequences, I'm still consuming and pursuing things that I find, at least temporarily, very, very pleasing, very desirous. Same way with the other two, bulimia and anorexia. And I think all have an element of self-destruction, which we've already addressed in one way or another tonight. So biblically, we have to look to scripture relating to one's thought life. And there's a lot of scripture about the renewing of the mind, about taking every thought captive. There's many things we can look to in scripture that address how our thinking becomes distorted and defiled by sin. We have to look to scripture that helps us control the proper management of emotion, to not get carried away by the deceptiveness of the heart. Scripture, we have to look to the imperatives of scripture that give directives regarding our choices about behavior. I mean, look, to a large degree of obedience is an election that we make. There always is a root issue. There's a heart issue that causes our sinful conduct, but our conduct to a large degree, there is an element of choice to it. And so we have to look to the imperatives of scripture to limit ourselves and restrict ourselves from certain expressions of sin that are just unacceptable to the Lord. And finally, we need to look at biblical study related to a proper orientation to worship. That we help the person struggling with this self-idolatry look back to the God of the universe, the Creator, the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and to move their worship external rather than internal. And finally, we have to look at a scriptural study pertaining to one's body as a member of Christ, as a temple of the Holy Spirit. There's a great gravity with which we must look to scripture as it educates us about who we are in Christ and how our body is to be sustained in Christ. Now, with any spiritual issue, and I kind of begin to close with this tonight, we have to look beyond the observable behavior, the restricting, the purging, or the compulsive eating. These are all behaviors. But we have to look beyond that and examine the root heart conditions that drive these life-threatening struggles. That's where we go back to pride, idolatry. Ed Welch is a very good writer in biblical counseling. He says that eating disorders are a worship disorder, that one's focus has become centered upon him or herself and not on Christ. We have to look to the root issue of fear, which often involves many control issues. Out of fear, we seek to control everything about our consumption and about our management of circumstances and so forth. Anxiety can be a root issue, which causes a great focus on self. Anger, very often people with these conditions are very angry and embittered. And sometimes there's an issue of unbelief lying at the core. And this is not an exhaustive list. I mean, there are other spiritual root issues that could be predominant in each of these situations. But that's just a little taste of what we need to look at tonight. So as we anticipate next week in getting into specific scripture as to how we help and care for someone in our family or in our church family who may need counsel biblically about eating struggles, begin to pray about and think about your understanding of what the Bible teaches about these matters, and participate in the research for next week to kind of imagine what would you say to help people in this particular issue. You know, much of what we strive to do with the Biblical Counseling Institute is not just counsel, but to teach people in the church to counsel. So as you listen, and maybe this is an issue that doesn't relate to you personally, but you want to be prepared as a member of Christ to minister to people who may struggle with these issues, begin thinking about how God might use you to address these matters and think scripturally about these issues of thought, emotion, worship, behavior, self-destruction, all these kinds of things that we've talked about tonight. Again, a very important question that's given to us tonight. I hope we're beginning to address it rightly. And next week we will look more thoroughly at the scriptural counsel that we get from the Lord about how to answer these matters. Let me pray with you quickly before we go. Father in heaven, God, we just turn to you and praise you for the sufficiency of your word. And we pray that as we look more deeply into these matters of eating struggles, Lord, and what they mean about our hearts and our minds, that you would show us your character, you would show us your affection for us, God, and help us to understand how we can best examine these issues within ourselves, and also how can we best minister to others who may fall into the grip of these many struggles. God, help us, I pray, to be timely in our application, to hear from you, and to apply your counsel, Lord, as you would have us to do according to your will. And we praise you, Lord, and thank you for all that you are and all that you provide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night. I will see you next week. God bless.